You know, my policy on public comment, this is a free speech time. You're free to say anything you want, but I do urge members of the public to please be respectful of each other, because we are all one community. And also, I would ask people on the board and members of the staff to hold off on responding to public comment. We allot a certain amount of time to public comment. We like to keep that inviolate. So you'll have free opportunity to respond to any comments that are disturbing when we return to the board session. Okay. Monroe Littman.
Yes, I'm right here. I've been a WBAI listener for 48 years now. I was an original subscriber when I heard the commercial station mention that it was going to be given to the Pacifica Foundation so that freedom of speech could occur, because that is what we need so that the informed citizenry can vote intelligently. And it's wonderful to hear great music or new music, new world music. I don't care what it is. I'm ready to listen. I listen 20 hours a day, 20/24. Now, I came today, even though I could have been here yesterday. Carolyn Burden invited me to come, but I didn't, because I'm a little dismayed, to put it mildly, at the criticalnesses that are implied. And then I heard poor Carolyn say that some things that were being said instantaneously, she interrupted to say, that's not true. And I say this, that if you wait around for a half an hour, three-quarters of an hour for a speaker to finish, the ideas that that person puts forth sink in, and then you sort of can't remember exactly and this and that, and so you say, oh, that person's just nasty and critical. Now, I think Bernard White should know that I care about the station, and I'm not a racist. And you too, Lisa David.
Thank you for informing me.
Oh, I didn't hear you.
I said thank you.
I criticize people on their performance the way Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said we should, not based on outer appearances or anything. I'm wearing the orange band because I care about the Guantanamo situation and habeas corpus. I don't see much of that showing here even though it was a rally a week ago, maybe.
Okay, that's time.
That's time?
Yeah, 2 minutes.
Well, my freedom of speech was denied by Plato Benjamin. I spoke friendly to Bernard White. He said, I don't care. Al Lewis said, Monroe, there is no free speech on my show. And the station has never done anything about it.
Thank you.
Well,
thank you.
I don't like it that I only get 2 minutes after I told you that I'm a 48-year listener. I expect a little respect.
Okay. Everyone gets 2 minutes.
Yeah, everyone
and
gets
every,
2 minutes.
Every once in a while, someone goes a little bit over.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay.
Yeah, it should be 3 minutes. Wait. And when I went to an old a meeting, it was 5 minutes.
Yes, please. Okay, that's time. The next name I have is, Zizes? Is it Rick? Okay. Oh, Linda.
Okay, I'm going to be very quick, hopefully. Number one is I hope you're all listening to everybody saying it's not my fault, it's somebody else's fault. This whole scapegoating, I think, is really not good. And I hope that, Anthony, that you're big enough a person to accept when you do things wrong and to say, I did this wrong, if you do, as well as I did this right. Second of all, I am still confused, genuinely confused, as to who is the community. I mean, am I a member of the community? And it seems to me, if the radio station has defined the community as those who are, let's say, poorer than the wealthy in this country, or those with excess income, then by definition, you do have a problem of raising money, because who is going to support the station are people who have some discretionary income. And if you don't define them as also the community, then where are you getting the money? And the money should come primarily, foremost, from the radio. That's what we are, a radio station. We're not a community outreach organization, although we are a facilitator of that. We are primarily a radio station, so the quality of the programming is essential. And it has to be evaluated in a formal and legitimate way that it has never been done at BAI. Evaluations are important, not just to say you're good or you're bad, but enhance and improve every person who is on the air. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And the next is Eve Moser.
Hi. I didn't really come here prepared to say anything, but because I'm so pissed off about so many things, I don't even know.
We can't hear you.
I thought I was right on it. Okay. Let's talk about the programming. The programming seems to be really what it's all about, and the boards need to be able to oversee what's going on about the programming, even though they don't directly do the programming. There ought to be a better procedure for all that, and a fairer procedure. And I'd also like to make a remark about the elections. I personally received a ballot and voted, but if people don't receive ballots and can't vote, why the hell should they retain their memberships?
Thank you. Next I have Sarah Flounders, then Robert Gold, then Kathy Davis.
Hello. Sarah Flounders, I'm on the local station board, and I feel what makes WBAI enormously important is that it is community radio, and it's an essential voice of people of color in New York. It's especially communities that are under attack. And because this is a real gain, there's a wide circle in New York who are determined to protect and defend the station in many, many ways. There is also a narrow group who is quite hostile to the whole orientation of the station. I think we really need to be committed to not let the station be destroyed or implode. And it's why the attacks, particularly on Bernard White, were so dangerous in every sense. And the constant use of code words in the attacks that were raised, charging people with being thugs, with theft, with corruption, totally unsubstantiated. This is a real problem because we live in a country that is built on racism. Racism and war, and it's just part of the very air we breathe. It shapes every question. And so what we do and how we proceed when we have a problem, either a logistical problem with the elections, a human relations problem, the financial problems, which are natural in community radio and every community group, how we proceed, we can't ignore race and class. Now, I didn't get a ballot in the last election. I notified three times, email, and by voice. And actually, more Justice and Unity supporters didn't get ballots than the ACE opposition. But rather than work with Pacifica to improve the elections, to get an extension, to solve the problem, they take it to the courts to get an injunction. It takes it out of the hands of Pacifica, out of the hands of the station, and in the courts, it's immediately an adversarial situation. Pacifica has to get lawyers. Even Justice and Unity has to get lawyers in order to speak.
Thank you.
We can no longer speak to each other.
Okay, that's time.
I'll just really finish on this, because at the local station board meetings, and this should be known, and I say this through 3 years of the meetings, legal action is threatened sometimes five and more times in a meeting. At every roll call vote, we are threatened that we will be sued personally, individually, the station,
and
Pacifica.
That's time.
And this has an impact on the station.
That's time. Please.
So I think
please.
We can solve this. Just to reach this, please.
Yep.
30 seconds.
No, not 30 seconds. I'm sorry. We have to be respectful of the time.
All right. If we
two
don't run
each.
To the cops and the court, I think we can solve our problems.
Thank you. Okay. Robert Gold.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. I want to address myself to the racism issue also. I was at a conference here in Newark 1 week ago of the People's Organization for Progress, and everybody, well, it was about half black and half white, and people calling each other brother and sister. And I thought that was really nice. And I, during an intermission, I went over to Lisa Davis, and I said, "Hello, sister, how are you?" And her response to me was, "Aren't you one of those people from the independent slate, ace independent slate?" And I said, "Yes." "Well, then I'm not your sister. And, you know, I don't associate with people who are racist." And, you know, for somebody who has worked doing anti-racism work for the last 40 years of his life, that's really painful to hear that. You know, I was married to a woman who was a freedom rider 40 years ago in the South. She did a lot of anti-apartheid work in the 80s. And I myself am involved with a lot of solidarity movements with Latin America. I was arrested 12 years ago demonstrating on behalf of Mumia Abu-Jamal at ABC TV Studios because we were protesting because of the lack of coverage of Mumia's case. So for her to just look at me and say, "Because you're part of this group or that group," without knowing me and calling me a racist, I really don't appreciate it. And I think that's symptomatic of the problems going on within the station. And I think a woman at the same conference last week mentioned that, well, when the right wing gets together, they know who the common enemy is. But when the left wing gets together, they form a circle. And they shoot each other. And I think that's exactly what's happening. And we need to sit down, all of us, and talk to each other and realize that we're all brothers and sisters and not enemies. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I have Kathy Davis and then Patty and then Jamie Ross.
Thank you. I also wanted to address some of the issues of the local station board. It's been my experience over the last year that it's because of the polarity, it's been a very one-sided control of everything that happens, and all the committees as well are very much controlled. And there was an effort to undermine and really take the control of the on-air report from a committee that had a broad spectrum of listeners and brought it down into the tight control of a particular side faction of the board. And I just feel one of the reasons that I ran for the LSB in the first place is because I had experienced that political crunch from either side where you're not allowed to really do your work without the influence and the interference from the various positions that people take. And I have always been brought 100% for the station, for running the station. I work very hard. Everyone works very hard. And I feel that there is an effort always to disseminate, place, blame, and undermine a lot of the staff. It depends on what side it's coming from, who is the person that's the subject of that. But there is a real problem with the board in obsessive control and not allowing anyone to come to the table to actually get work done. There's no opportunity to have a conversation. There's no opportunity for dialogue. There's no opportunity for any kind of compromise or any kind of working through any issues. It becomes a question of you're fighting for your life because people are going to set up systems that are going to undermine what it is that you're trying to accomplish and set people against each other. And I think at some point, everybody's going to have to deal with that and really look at themselves and see what they're contributing to this process. And as far as this lawsuit is concerned, perhaps if there was an opportunity to come to the table and discuss these things and deal with these things, people wouldn't have felt the need to do that. Thank you.
Patty?
Hello. First, I'd like to say something before my time starts. I wanted to make a correction for the interim executive director. He stated that He was the began these single station reports in long periods of time. That's not true. Greg Gumma began that the day he started. He started having meetings where the stations were featured one at a time. So I just would like to correct that.
Okay. Wait, Patty, I'm just going to inform you. I've stopped the clock, but the clock was running during that comment. There's no way you can just say before my time starts and then
go into
public comment.
Okay, well, they should be responsible and not say those things. Okay, I'm Patty Heffley, former director, and I was on the National Finance Committee. I said yesterday, the facts are your friends. And the coup that Mr. Adams was speaking about, it was disseminated by the Justice and Unity, which is Bob Lederer, Lisa Davis, and Nia Bediako, the Justice and Unity Caucus. So this is where this information is coming from. I want to say that for the new GM, welcome, and I have a good piece of advice for you. Everyone that comes to Pacifica, all management people come. They have good intentions, and then they substitute political maneuvering for management and managing the station and preserving the host. And so I just give you that advice right now. The other thing, too, there's all this complaint about the money. No one knows about the money. There's not reports and everything. The CFO is the last person here. That is who is responsible. If there's not proper financial information and you aren't getting it locally, it's the responsibility of the CFO. If it's not, he's dropped the ball. If he can't get the info and is working on the budget with management and business directors, whose fault is it? And we have to start looking where the problems are and quit blaming everybody else. The chief financial officer is responsible for the finances of the foundation, and if they cannot figure them out, then it is his responsibility, and people should look at that and perhaps find a solution. Thank you.
Thank you. Jamie Ross, and then after Jamie is Mitchell Cohen and Stefan Neustadter.
Hi, my name is Jamie Ross. I am a member of BAI's local station board. First thing I'd like to do is say welcome to our new GM. I wish you luck at the job. It's very important for BAI, if it's going to do its job right, to have good management. Let's see. One point I wanted to make, I actually spend some time in Baltimore, though I live in this area. And when I'm in Baltimore, one thing I do is listen to WPFW because I can hear the station from that far. And it was notable to me a few months ago during I picked up part of one of your fund drives there, and during one of the programs you were offering a Gary Null premium. So it seems that Gary Null does have the ability to make money for some of the Pacifica stations. Now I bring this up because we heard in this morning's report from the program director that he hasn't been allowed to make schedule changes. And that's one of the things that's been holding up progress. But I would like to point out that in 2004, our program director removed the Gary Null show from WBAI's schedule. That was one change that he actually made. And I'd also like to point out that though I am not personally a fan of Gary Null, he is a popular programmer. And based on the experience of WPFW, he still possesses the ability to bring in funds. So what that comes down to, at the end of the day, we have a real financial problem here at WBAI. And what it comes down to is that people don't donate in the same volume that they used to. And so you have to ask yourself, is what's on the air bringing in money, and what decisions have been made that may have changed that? And this decision to remove Gary Null, I would submit to you all, is one that needs to be looked at. And let's see. I'd also like to make one brief comment about the lawsuit.
That's time.
Okay, well, then I won't do that. All right, well, thank you for your time. Oh, and by the way, I'd like to thank all the board members for your service.
Thank you. Mitchell Cohen.
Hi, good morning, and I'm absolutely thrilled that Anthony Riddle has been chosen as the general manager here, and I'm full of optimism, and I hope that sustains itself over the next 20 years. And in so doing, I'd like to reissue a proposal that I had made several years back, but it didn't go anywhere, and see if it does, if it resonates with you. I had proposed that because of the many high schools all around New York City, throughout all the boroughs, many of them have their own radio stations, and that WBAI should be networking and pulling together or helping to participate in a network of these radio stations with the high school students around New York City, and then taking the best of those shows and putting them on the air on BAI and trying to create the type of activist community radio that Bernard talked about. But that's one way of beginning to implement some of that. And I would love to work on that project if it's going forward. BAI has an antenna on top of the Empire State Building. That's 50,000 effective watts. That's really a crucial thing. Because of that, even though it is somewhat expensive, because of that, it allows us to reach 16 to 17 million people potentially. And that, we should never even think of stepping down from that. There's a proposal that, well, we could come off the Empire State Building and so forth. No, we need that, especially now. We want to be able to reach that number of people with effective programming. Third, I would like to see Robert Knight rehired immediately. He was our best political reporter, in my view, and that we need to rebuild bridges to Gary Null and others who have been driven away from BAI over the recent years. And it's still a very sore point.
That's time.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Stefan Neustadter. And then I have Vatra Kilgore and Jennifer Yeager.
Good morning, everybody. We're in one of the four major radio markets in this nation, and we're losing listeners and losing money. Something's wrong. Programs, by our own admission, programs have not been effective for 4 years. There have been no changes. Something's wrong. The board is still defining its overview, and there's obviously accounting mispractices, and the selections are made without their being involved. Something is wrong. We have an election, and Justice and Unity has equated independence with racism, questioning of the budget with racism, and there's no mystery as to where the threat of a coup came from. It came from Justice and Unity, and it's in my email as of yesterday. This board, Pacifica, has a major role. There is a larger community. That community has to be reached out to if we want to see WBAI continue. And to question what is happening is not racism. Racism is a bit more complex and a bit deeper than that. Thank you.
Thank you. Vatra Kilgore.
Okay. Hi. I will take this opportunity because I don't know if we would have a chance to respond later, and I have been listening very closely. And one point that I want to make that I think is really key for around two of our most vexed issues, and that is fulfilling our mission and raising enough money to continue to fulfill our mission. I think that it's actually a fallacy to imagine that we will necessarily raise more money by, and I'm hearing what sounds a little bit to me like a little bit coded, if we go for, and I will code this myself and say NPR's audience a little more. In my personal experience of having had economic ups and downs, I am here to tell you that poor people tend to be much more generous than rich people. I think a number of the people who think that we should be changing the focus of our programming, I spend a lot of time in the pledge room because, as we say, board members either give it or get it. I give as much as I can, and I sit in the pledge room, especially at times when there aren't that many people to take pledges, when we're losing money because we don't have enough volunteers there, and take in the money. And if people paid attention to where that money is coming from, they would know that we're getting fairly sizable pledges from parts of New York City that are not considered wealthy. And I've had pledges from folks in Greenwich, Connecticut saying, I'm going to give $25 because Amy Goodman is really important. Okay, so I think it's a fallacy to imagine that we're going to get more money if we aim at I think that to continue to reach out even deeper into the group of people that we're supposed to be serving anyway is not a bad plan at all. With regard to the and then the other thing that I did want to mention is that I have a friend who was a programmer at BAI many years ago who said he has never known a time that WBI and Pacifica were not under attack. So this is, it's a fact of life. There are a lot of people who'd like to see us off the air. And la lucha continua. Okay.
That's time. I have Jennifer Yeager, Jennifer somebody. And then after that, John Riley and William Heerwager.
Yes, I'm Jennifer Jaeger. I'm an independent who is running for the LSB at WBAI. And
wait a minute, Jennifer. I think we have an issue with fair campaign provisions. I'm going to defer to the National Election Supervisor.
Yes. I can't be a candidate. All right, I'm a listener of WBAI.
Wait a minute.
I'm sorry. I should have been on top of this. I'm not realizing, didn't realize at first with the public comments that this is being streamed publicly, and a number of candidates in the current election have spoken. You can go ahead and speak, but just be aware that anybody, any candidate who has not spoken at this meeting will get a chance for equal time.
Okay. I'm sorry. Proceed.
I'm a longtime listener of WBAI, and I was very involved in the coup, trying to reinstate Bernard and Amy and all the fired and banned producers. It was one of the happier days of my life when everyone was reinstated and the station, I thought, was going to go back to normal. Obviously, it didn't. It sort of flipped roles and became what we tried to get out, which was the Utrecht lead regime. I'm very, very, very concerned about the finances of the station and the membership. Obviously, although Justice and Unity had said that we had 28,000 members originally because they were given mistaken information, and when the independent members of the board tried to correct them, they were silenced. We found out that there are actually 15,500 members, down 4,000 members in 4 years. We have a station that reaches 16 million people in a time when corporate media is getting worse and worse. I mean, all people in the community are underserved. Everybody is underserved because people are victims of the corporate media. So we should be out there reaching out to people who listen to Air America. Those people have a hunger for knowledge. They want to know what's going on. They're not finding out from Air America, but they listen to it. But instead, we say, oh, no, we don't want those people. Maybe they're white. Maybe they have some money. You know, why would we want to focus on them? Well, we want to focus on them because we lost 4,000 members. We need the money, and we have a mission. We have a mission to educate whoever we can get to listen about what we believe about the mission.
That's time. Thank you. John Riley.
Hi. I'm a programmer at WBAI, and I am a programmer with Out FM, the lesbian and gay, bisexual, and transgender show. And I just wanted to say a couple of things, is that WBAI is a really important institution for the social movements here in New York City, including the LGBT movement. And there's been talk of racism today at the station, and it is an issue. And some of it is subtle, and some of it is not so subtle. And like the rest of the society, we're infected by it. We listen to other media. We listen to other people. It affects our consciousness. And there is one of the things that's happening, I think, is that there's a state of denial. And I think that there's also a problem that people don't want to admit when they're wrong. I mean, that's a very human thing. But I urge people to examine their behavior. Defamatory emails going out by the thousands that, you know, have attacked Bernard White in the most unprincipled way. This damages the station. You know, this damages our image. Repeatedly, we've heard on the air, during candidate debates, of all places, that there's financial misconduct at the station. What does that send? A message to the people that are generously giving their hard-earned dollars to the station. It's basically saying that this is not an institution worth giving to. And it would be one thing if there were truth to it. But I've heard dozens of allegations, and none of them have been shown to be true, as far as I know. And my...
Please.
My feeling is that executive session is where this kind of discussion needs to happen, and not out in the public. And I think that this has undermined morale among listeners at WBAI. I think that all of these charges has undermined morale at the station. And what we need to do is to build morale and work together more. And
Thank
I hope
you.
That
time.
That with the new general manager, we can get off on a better foot and do a lot of outreach, because that's the way to build listenership.
Thank you. I have William Heerwager, then Don DeBar, and Tippi Brooks.
Hi, I'm William Heerwager. I'm active on most of the committees of the LSB, and I'm a listener. And I'd just like to welcome you all to New York, New Jersey. I don't know if some of you might have been here last time you were in the area. I gave a little tale about my recognition of my white skin privilege, how I came to it. And I just want to remind you all again that just because you say you're progressive and you attend progressive meetings, it's kind of difficult to overcome those, in most cases, decades of training and that you got from your family, from the media. We're in a racist society, and you got to work hard to overcome it. A couple other LSB things on the Finance Committee. I think someone addressed it already, but I'd like to point out that we made all kinds of requests for the last, I guess it's over 2 years, since 2005, actually, before I was very active. There's been requests to management and finance at the local station for information, and we still haven't gotten the vast majority of it. So it's not that the LSB or any of its committees are failing to do their job, is that they can't get the information. And then board meetings, talking about minutes, we have at least one member on the board who just takes something that should take 5 minutes to approve a set of minutes. He could take 10 minutes describing how a comma is misplaced, something has to be indented, something happened at 8:43, not 8:47, and it just wastes time. And all that could be done on, I understand what it's called, the listserv, because all the information is out there, the minutes are out there. He could just write in his suggestions, and maybe we'd get some minutes approved instead of never getting to minutes. I think the mic went off, but thank you all.
No,
welcome, Mr. Riddle.
Okay, thank you. Don, and then Tippi Brooks and I.O. Harrington.
Hello. Oh.
It works. I've attended maybe a half dozen LSB meetings in the last 2 years, and my, you know, the facial impression that I get from watching it is that if you went to Wikipedia and looked up filibuster and clicked on the word, there would be a video of an LSB meeting with this minority faction preventing a discussion of anything, including a discussion of a discussion about the discussion to have a discussion. Meanwhile, they articulate. Allege, you know, major financial problems. They don't specify them. Major management problems, major listener problems, and a lack of vision moving through a changing radio market. And then they filibuster a discussion of solutions to the problem. The station, like the other Pacifica stations, and like anyone else doing any peace and justice work in the Western world right now, face a shortage of resources. And management has been articulating a peace and justice message very well, along with the producers, but guiding that in a way that I think draws the attention of people who would not like to see either of those trends prevail in the United States or in the world. BAI is a magnet for wrecking, basically. In the same way that looking back at the Green Party, as it developed from 96 through this coming election, was wrecked. One example is the New York State Green Party, which lost its ballot status in 2002 requiring 50,000 votes for its candidate for governor, Stanley Aronowitz. Stanley got in the 40,000s, low 40,000s worth of votes, about 10% shy, but a group of people broke from the Green Party that year and pulled another 20,000 votes. So those who would run in the Green Party line, rather than, say, in my town, requiring four signatures to get on the ballot, need to get 500. The reason I bring your attention to that is my understanding is that the attorney for the people bringing the lawsuit against BAI over the elections was a vice governor candidate or lieutenant governor candidate for that group. That's who that faction is. That's what they're up to.
Yeah. Thank you. Tibby Brooks.
I'm, like most BAI listeners, I'm history drunk. And when I heard the proposal, I'm on the local station board, that there was going to be a parallel local station board constituted only of those members whose terms had not expired, and those members whose terms weren't in litigation, which was brought by certain plaintiffs, to stall the elections forever once they get into the court system. All I could think of was, if this happened in Venezuela a couple of years ago, if this happened in Spain in 1936, if this happened in so many places that we know about, like a second or third world country, it's like, oh my God, it's a pooch. And so when you say, oh, this is just talk about something happening, I think it's very real. And I really must say, I was offended as someone I know is smart, accepting a position both on the local station board that actually exists and on the local station board that was proposed to exist. There was cafe station board that would meet in a cafe afterwards. And I don't think talk of a coup was very far out when you look at history. And it's really offensive that it happens among people you know.
Thank you. I have Io Harrington, then Emmett Abate-Dole, and Kamaj Kalfani.
So, good morning, everyone. And I want to begin by saying welcome to Tony. I can't see you with my glasses off, but I know you're over there. Thank Bernard for coming, and I want to thank Robert, particularly around all of the support that he has given with the changes in the premiums department over the past couple of months. My name is Io Harrington. I'm the producer of On the Count, the prison and criminal justice report that just went off the air here. We are a program, all producers and all people involved are people like myself, formerly incarcerated as children or as adults. I don't need to talk about the statistics, so I want to thank WBAI and Pacifica Foundation for being the only media source in the entire country for providing that kind of opportunity to our folks. I also want to parrot what Robert said about WBAI desperately needing an office manager. I have said this to Lonnie 10,000 times over the years. I've also more recently said it to Phil for all of the reasons that have been described. I want to just give a quick update on the premiums department, and it's symbolic of the problems that have happened at WBAI. I was asked to take over the premiums department in November. At the time, the person who had been in that department was out during a fund drive for almost a six-week period, during which time no work was done. That has created a major backlog in the department, a lot of customer satisfaction, that's the way that I'm going to term it, and a very bad image for WBAI. At the time, there was no roadmap, there were no systems that were recognizable in place, but we have moved forward. What had been a spread-over process in three rooms has been reorganized with the help of volunteers and some staff, and we are now on track. We have said in our premiums over the years, because we realized that we could not even live up to the eight-week period of getting premiums to people beginning in late 2006, that we would get our premiums to our folks within an 8 to 12-week period. And actually, that's not at end yet, but people still expect to get their premiums very quickly.
Okay, that's time.
It is.
Yes, so, 2 minutes.
Sorry about that, folks.
Okay. Thank you very much. I have Emmett Abate-Dole, and then Kamaj Kalfani, and Michael G. Haskins. Whoops. Kamal.
Okay, I'm Emmett Abate-Dole from the KPFT. From the KPFT signal area. And I'd like to get into the records a response that I made dealing with KPFT and also the program council. One of the major problems that we have in the network is that there are people who want to not just dumb down the network and dumb down the quality of content of the network, but they want to further the takeover of the network. In my opinion, the coup that was alleged to have been created by the former directors who were legally put in place were replaced by a faction that clearly did not have the best interests of the network at heart, and I think we can see from the results of what has happened in the past 5-6 years the evidence of it. And I'd like to have this accepted into the record of this meeting, this statement.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, thank you.
Kamal Kafani.
Kamal Wu.
Okay.
Good evening. Let me say welcome to New Jersey. This is the Garden State, and this is where I live. And it's important to me to come here and speak today about a couple of things particularly. One of those things is the conduct of Stephen Brown. And for some reason, people have trouble about coming out and saying this directly. Stephen Brown has contaminated the quality of this board, and people have given him support that should have been taken away. They should have chastised him several times on several issues, and I couldn't figure out for the life of me why it didn't happen. There are many, and I have, for lack of a better reference point, there are many white people in here that need a reality check. If you think that the modus operandi by which you move is a contemporary acceptable construct, you're wrong. You need to check the mission statement of WBAI. You need to check the mission statement of Pacifica and see what it says you're supposed to be doing. And some of you, quite frankly, can't accept leadership from any people of color or black people, and you are tainting that with your so-called professionalism. You're burying that in your conversations about law and exactness. And I'm telling you, as a black man in this society, I've seen that crap 1,000 times, and our people have run through the history of that, and you're doing it right here today, and it reeks of the same thing that led to entire lynching scenarios. And so I'm not trying to come and sugarcoat it, and I don't worry about what you think about it. I'm telling you that the tenor of WBAI in part has suffered because of these ridiculous games that you are playing, because you can't accept black people in charge. You think that you have some kind of privilege that automatically puts you at the forefront, and on top of that, you are extremely disingenuous about your positions of race. Let's prove it. Let's have public dialogue with both factions that are warring, because many of you cannot deal with the reality of this existence. And so I make you an offer to come on my show. You can do it on the learning tree, we can do it in the station, but the majority of people in there that are parading as progressives, you are full of crap. And I came here today to tell you publicly, directly to your face, because that's what we don't do. We've got all this corner conversation. Okay. We need to bring it out front. And I'm saying to you, when Stephen Brown can take positions that he has taken, when he can tell people to redirect what they're doing, you as a board should have called them on it and chastised him for it. Thank you, and forgive my tenor.
Yes, thank you, Kamal. Michael G. Haskins. Yeah. If members of the audience would please be respectful. Please. Please, members of the audience, will you please take your seats. Thank you. Okay. Michael G. Haskins. Michael G. Haskins here. Ed Marshall. Is Ed Marshall here?
Unfortunately.
He'll be right there. Okay.
First, I want to start. I'm Ed Marshall. I'm a member of WBAI, and I'm on two committees there. I have to, I guess, reflect on what Kamau was just speaking about. There's nothing inaccurate about what he said. Steve Brown has infected the LSB. A lot of people sort of cater to him because he's a millionaire, but nobody looks into how he acquired his funds. He cannot do business in six states. Because of civil actions, they won't allow him because his business is about fleecing people, senior citizens, the gullible, fixed-income people, children,
please,
with his $5 and $10 products.
I'm gonna stop the clock.
Steve is a thief, and the only reason that he has not been arrested in the state of New York is because he's paid off a particular politician whose name I won't mention here. The reality is that justice and unity has gone about and they have a program. When it comes to ACE and the LSB board meetings, it is nothing but chaos. Where does this chaos, where is it generated from? It comes from ACE. And this is consistent. It's a strategy. It's a technique to undermine the functioning of justice and unity. Because justice and unity is supportive, they're creative, they're intelligent, and they're trying to see to it that WBAI survives. That is not the objective and goal of ACE. So just to reflect on him and a few other people that names should be mentioned here.
Okay,
Mitchell Cohen.
That's time.
This is the most vicious, vile individual I've ever seen with some of the lies that come out of his mouth about Bernard White and a few other people that are members of staff there. This is not an attack job. This is reality. All right? And the other one, Carolyn Burden, another one that has always has something negative to say about someone. And at some point, you have to realize when you see this, when you see this, you've got to wake up to the facts.
Thank you.
And
that's
the facts are, we need a change here.
It's time. Thank you. And Serene Roberts, and that concludes the stack.
Go. I'm sorry, do I have the floor?
You can define, please. Please.
No speaking out of turn.
Tell me when he's done.
What's the matter?
Is he done?
Yeah, it's your time now.
Oh, thanks. I never get a chance to hold the floor when I have the floor. I get recognized and then I get derecognized because someone else starts speaking. I'm going to try not to respond to everything that's been said because I will take far more than the 2 minutes I have. I want to say welcome to Tony, and I hope that under your tenure we will not face the problems that we faced under the past two IGMs, which include illegal hires, failure to convene applicant review committees from staff as are required. We have one person now who's in three illegal positions, which is to say they were hired illegally into three positions. We have one person who's a department head who sat on ARCs that hired for 3 to 5 positions. They themselves were not arced into their permanent position, but were illegally placed into that position and then sanctioned. When Mr. Adams joined us, he met with us as unpaid staff, the unpaid staff union, met with the attorney for Pacifica locally, and they assured us that they would in fact move forward with the arcs. The stall went on for about 6 months before we heard through a communication he sent to someone else that he wasn't going to bother with the ARCs. So I welcome you. There's a lot of work ahead. I'm going to actually ask for a moratorium and ask that no one go into your office to lobby for 3 weeks from your starting date. I hope all sides will respect that so you get a feel for what's happening before you get bombarded. But knowing people as I do, I don't think that kind of discipline will, self-discipline will actually prevail. I want to say that there's an undercurrent that happens among people who claim to be progressive, who start organizations, who work for organizations, who contribute, who have the great T-shirts, and some of whom gave great spiels here last night, totally unrecognizable to those of us who've had to work with them, that black people are violent, that we are dishonest, that we're incompetent, that we're unable to lead, that we're unable to think. I actually have a situation where a board member who stood here yesterday and said that essentially they've stopped working for the board since 2006 but did not have the integrity to resign so someone else could take the seat and get some work done.
Okay, that's time.
I'm sorry. Can I just finish the sentence?
Finish the sentence.
Thanks. That person, in fact, was not at a board meeting where I presented a motion, showed up at the continuation of that meeting and said that, oh, I know you couldn't have written that motion. Bob Lederer wrote that motion for you.
Okay.
There's video of the meeting. I urged her to go look at it because apparently black folks can't think. Thank you.
That's time. Okay. Thank you, members of the public.